Numbers chapter 7, verse 89 through chapter 8 and verse 4. These are God's words. Now when Moses went into the tabernacle of meeting to speak with him, he heard the voice of one speaking to him from above the mercy seat that was on the ark of the testimony from between the two cherubim. Thus he spoke to him. And Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to Aaron, and say to him, When you arrange the lamps, the seven lamps shall give light in front of the lampstand. And Aaron did so. He arranged the lamps to face toward the front of the lampstand, as Yahweh had commanded Moses. Now this workmanship of the lampstand was hammered gold. From its shaft to its flowers it was hammered work, according to the pattern which Yahweh had shown Moses. So he made the lampstand. So for the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. Well, in the bulk of chapter 7, we saw how the entire nation understood from God in the way that he ordered the 12 days and the tribes in which he had providentially placed each one of them and given each of them their part in contributing to the whole of that for which supplied the service of the tabernacle and even the sacrifices of the tabernacle, the ascension and the tribute, the sin offering, the peace. We saw that the Lord was communicating to the people their participation in that which was going on in the tabernacle, that it wasn't just for the Levites or just for the priests or even just for Moses when ministry took place at the tabernacle, but that which was done by those through whom the Lord was giving them to come to him, those who mediated their drawing near to God, and these drawings near, of which chapter 7 is full, that each Israelite had a participation in it. And so with the tabernacle service and tabernacle sacrifices furnished, now there is this conclusion, and it's similar to the conclusion in Leviticus 9, when everything has been done, and Aaron, having offered the first round of sacrifices as a fully ordained priest, you remember he blesses the people from the altar, and then he and Moses go in together and come out and bless the people. Well, there's a similar conclusion here with the consecration and the furnishing of all these things. Verse 89 now describes something that happens not just once, but something that is now a perpetual occurrence that had been promised. God, all the way back in Exodus chapter 25, had promised that he would speak to Moses from the mercy seat, from between the cherubim, so that there is a picture of the Lord sitting on the throne, really, of heaven, and yet having come to earth to make his throne there, or a satellite of his throne, or an image of his throne, to make his authority communicated there, but to make his authority communicated there in the way of mercy, on the lid of the ark, which upon which the blood is placed once a year on the Day of Atonement. And so God, coming near to speak with all of his kingly authority that he has in heaven, as indicated by the tabernacle, which was according to the pattern, as verse 4 of our passage says, and with all of his kingly authority and glory that he has in heaven, yet speaking in mercy, giving not just authoritative commands, but merciful commands, as the God who has brought his people near to redeem them to himself to give them obedience, to give them spiritual life with him, and to give them commands to do by that spiritual life, by that grace. Very similarly, your life is, if you are a Christian, redeemed by God, he has brought you near to himself in Christ, and he still speaks with all of his authority and glory. So we have come near, and we reverence him, we worship him, we honor him from the heart. We have an appropriate fear of God in the heart. And yet, since he has brought us near in Christ, our tabernacle, Christ, our mercy seat, we know that he speaks to us in mercy. We know that his commands are for our good. We know that his grace is what sustains us in doing whatever he says. And so there's much communicated here by Moses going into the tabernacle of meeting to speak with God and hearing the voice of one speaking to him. Now the verb that's translated speaking to him here is one of the rarer verbal forms, and it is a reciprocal form, which means an interactive action between the one doing it and the one receiving it. So maybe speaking together with him, or we might translate it with a different English root, conversing with him. So not only now does God speak to Moses from behind the curtain in the Holy of Holies, but Moses may speak to God. He may ask God questions. He may tell God his problems, and with the number of people and the sort of people that God had given him to lead, boy, did he have problems. And how amazing that the living God who dwells in glory, before whom are wonders that we can't imagine, and even creatures like actual cherubim, not golden cherubim, that we can't imagine. He who is the creator, who is infinitely higher than any creature, that he not only speaks to us in grace and mercy, but he listens. And so there is this wonderful conversing with God from the other side of the curtain where Moses is, and he hears the voice of one speaking to him from above the mercy seat that was on the Ark of the Testimony, from between the two cherubim. Thus he spoke to him. And one of the things that he speaks to him then about is that this interaction with God isn't merely for Moses as the prophet, so that Moses can come back to the people of God and speak authoritative words and accurate words to the people of God. But this is something that Aaron and the priests, as representatives of the people, are going to enjoy the reality of whenever they come into the tabernacle. And that's what connects verse 89 to verses 1 through 4. Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to Aaron and say to him, when you arrange the lamps, the seven lamps shall give light in front of the lampstand." Now we remember from Leviticus 24 and the opening part of that chapter and the instructions for keeping and taking care of the lamps in the first four verses of that chapter, and the instructions for taking care of the showbread in the next five verses of that chapter, that the lamp and the showbread communicated by the lamp the shining of God's favor upon the people, because on the table of showbread there were 12 loaves, one loaf for each tribe, the same idea of participation as in the 12 days and the 12 leaders and the 12 identical offerings of each of the 12 tribes from throughout Numbers chapter 7. And so when he gives now the specific instruction about the direction that the lamp should face, he's bringing that reminder. He's reminding us of chapter 24, verses 1 through 9, and bringing that lesson that God shines his favor upon his people, indicated by the lampstand, inviting his people into the sharing of his fellowship, indicated by a table that is set to enjoy the hospitality of God. And of course, the table was gold, and the lampstand was gold, and on the inside of the curtain there was gold. So the lamp that was shining would reflect marvelously off of all of these things, these seven lamps on the lampstand, indicating the shining of God. And now here, in verses 1 through 4, which we noted back when we considered Leviticus 24, God gives the very specific instruction about the direction that it should shine. Forward, towards the table. So that just as in verse 89 of chapter 7, Moses hears the voice coming, as it were, from between the cherubim on top of the mercy seat, where God is making his presence to be known and God is communicating himself with his voice, the way we communicate ourselves with our voices. So also now, because of the direction that the lamp is shining, the light shines from that same direction, from that same place. And so not only does God communicate himself and his presence by means of the voice, he communicates that he is the life and the glory and the blessedness of the people, which he had shown them and still at this point is showing them in the pillar of fire that is outside and above the tabernacle. And so there's a connection between what the people can see in God's shining his favor in an earthly way, in the pillar of cloud, in the glory cloud, in the pillar of fire, and that which he implies is in a heavenly way inside the tabernacle. Now this tells them that what they hear at the ends of the worship assemblies, when Aaron and his sons put Yahweh's name upon the children of Israel, and he says, Yahweh bless you and keep you. Yahweh make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. That what they hear about the face of Yahweh shining upon them is not something that is true for a moment, only for a moment at the end of their worship services. It's something that is perpetually true, which is why the light inside the tabernacle never goes out. And it's something that is especially true, is renewed to them every Sabbath. Because you remember in Leviticus 24, in that sister passage to this one, that was the day when the Lord would, by his priests, put out fresh bread on the table. And they would put out new, fresh, warm loaves on the Sabbath day. The Sabbath being the day especially of God putting aside everything else in their lives. The Lord's Day now, the Christian Sabbath, the first day of the week called the Lord's Day. The day when God puts aside everything else in our lives to give us a whole day just for enjoying the shining of his favor upon us and the sharing of his fellowship with us. And even now, his speaking to us, where Christ speaks to us not from earth, but from heaven, where he has taken his seat upon the throne, where he is above the cherubim. And so we most of all on our Sabbath days, on our Lord's days now, enjoying these wonderful things that the Lord communicated to his people that he was doing for them, that he had brought them into by faith in Jesus Christ, and that he would finally fulfill in glory and completeness. Not only when Christ had come and we enjoy much greater glory, although it's less outward and earthly glory. We don't have a menorah and a table of showbread and a ceremonial changing of the bread. Certainly there is not a glory cloud or a pillar of fire over the meeting house throughout the week or even on the Lord's Day when we come. But the eye of faith can see something greater and something better. Jesus Christ, our mediator, who has come in the flesh and who has ascended in the flesh and sits on the throne of glory. And so although it is not for the eye of the flesh to see, the eye of faith does see that we have a greater glory, that we have a greater speaking from the throne, that we have a greater shining of God's favor upon us, that we have a greater sharing of fellowship with God. Because now we do not have Aaron and his sons as our priest, and we do not have Moses as our prophet. Jesus himself, to whom we have been united by faith, he who is God and man, he is our prophet. He who is God and man is our mediator, our prophet, and our priest, and our king. It is in his authority that he gives us his commands, the law of liberty, the royal law. And so marvelous things here for the people of God in these five verses, but even more marvelous for us in this age as the people of God in this administration of the covenant of grace. And we pray that the Holy Spirit would convince our hearts of these things. Just think of what your life would be like if you lived moment by moment, day by day, week by week, with a full awareness of, a full embracing of, the Lord Jesus, your God, being the one who speaks to you from above the cherubim, being the one who shines his favor on you all the time, and especially on the Lord's Day, being the one who shares his fellowship with you all the time, and especially on the Lord's Day, because there is a greater day coming yet, when that which these weekly Sabbaths anticipate will be final and full in glory forever. Then shall the dwelling place of God be with man. Then will there be no sun, because the shining of his, of the light of himself upon us will obsolete not just lampstands and lamps, but the sun and the moon themselves. Oh, may the Holy Spirit give us to grow in awareness of and embracing of these truths, these realities. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for what you have intended towards us from before the world began in your Son, by your Spirit. Now, grant to us the help of your Spirit that he would remind and teach our hearts of the greatness of this favor and this fellowship that we have in Christ. And we pray that you would give us to know throughout our life, especially on the Lord's days, but throughout our life, your favor and your fellowship, that the life that we live, we would live by faith in the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us, and in whose name we ask it. Amen.